6th of May. We are going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 499A. Do we have... who's bringing us this bill? Who's bringing us this bill?
Cattlemen and Farm Bureau.
Water for Life.
Water for Life.
Brad?
Which one are you?
Are you 499, oh. Senate Bill 499. Are you prepared to?
Whatever the chair pleases.
Yeah. We need to move along, and we don't have the number of persons needed to do some of our other business yet, so we move down the order to pick up 499. Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brad Harper, Executive Director of Water for Life. Senate Bill 499 is a bill put together by a number of groups, including Water for Life. There was also the Oregon Farm Bureau, Oregon Cattlemen's Association, Deschutes Resource Conservancy, Oregon Water Resources Congress. I'm probably forgetting somebody.
Yeah.
Oregon Water Trust, thank you. Just the other person sitting at the table here with me. And basically this came out of discussions between the Transfer Rules Advisory Committee over the last interim. We were discussing basically conceptually what injury is in Oregon and what injury isn't. And while we weren't able to arrive at a consensus on a definition, we thought that the discussion was productive enough that we ought to go ahead and continue in the next interim to do that. And that's what led to this bill.
Well, we have a list just handed to me. So, have all of you testified yet, or do you want to go, Jean?
Thank you, Ms. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Jean Underhill Wilkinson, representing the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. Brad gave a good summary of what has gone on here. The Oregon Farm Bureau supports this bill and plans on being a participant in this task force put together by Senate Bill 499. Their transfer of water rights are becoming a larger issue as time goes on, and added complexities we will see as more transfers are done for various reasons, and water rights become more valuable in this state. And there are definitely some issues that could not be resolved during the rulemaking committee, effort made by the Oregon Water Resources Department. We participated in that too, and so we thought the best way to resolve and continue discussion and analysis of some of the issues was to put together this separate task force to concentrate primarily on transfers and issues in transfers such as enlargement and injury to other water right holders. So we look forward to participating and support this bill. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ed Goodman. I'm with the Oregon Water Trust. I also served on the Transfer Rules Advisory Committee, and the Water Trust also supports the Senate Bill 499A as it's been amended for the same reasons that Farm Bureau and Water for Life support it. We think that there's some really important and critical issues to be dealt with in transfers. Our organization is a market-based conservation group that acquires water rights through lease and purchase to transfer those to in-stream flow, and we grapple with these issues on a daily basis as well, and look forward to participating on the task force to try and craft a broader policy approach to some of the issues that are only facing us now because we've become moving from straight allocation state to a transfer of water rights state. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, may I make one more comment?
You certainly may.
Thank you. Jean Wilkinson with the Farm Bureau again. Harlan Levy handed us this morning, and I'm sure he might want to testify, amendment to the bill that would add a member for development interests. I was teasing him this morning and calling him Tommy too late. We considered the membership of this group very carefully to make sure there is a delicate balance amongst the players in the group. With his amendment, it would make the group 10 members, which is an even number. I haven't given a lot of thought to his amendment. I'm wondering whether his interests might be already dealt with and properly supported by the water supply, three members who represent water suppliers and hydroelectric users. I'm wondering whether he might fit into that category and be able to participate in that group of membership of the task force. That's what I would prefer. And so I guess that's the only comment I have on that proposed amendments, which he'll probably be presenting to you. So I am skeptical about adding another person to the group.
Based on that, Gene, you seem Ken seems to bother you. I don't know what there is about it being a perfect Ken that bothers you, but would it make you more comfortable if we went to 11 then? We could make it two members for Mr. Levy.
We could make it 11 by adding another agriculture representative, and that would be fine with me.
Are there other the other comments on Mr. Levy's? I assume you, at least if you haven't heard from Mr. Levy, you've heard from Gene in essence what it does to increase the group work group to 10 and to add for that then one member to represent the development interest. Do you have concerns, thoughts, Mr. Goodman?
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, this is the first we've heard of it, and I share some of Gene's concerns about. We spent a lot of time and energy trying to make sure we had a committee that's balanced among the various interests, and just adding another member into it at this late date might throw that out. It's hard to know. This is the first we've seen it this morning. Don't really know where the developers' interests come into this. They were not a participant in the Transfer Rules Advisory Committee for a year and a half, which is kind of the foundation and basis for putting this legislative task force together. The folks who put it together and who are on it largely represent the people that were involved for a year and a half in that committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I suppose I'm going to be a bit of a dissident here then at the table. We've really enjoyed working with the realtors over the past, this session and last session and sessions past, and I found that they very often share our interest in a lot of these issues, and frankly don't have any objection to them being on the task force, but do understand the concerns voiced about having an evenly balanced group. In that sense, you can never get a majority if there's a perfect balance. I mean, they could conceivably split or they could tie, but that's really not a major concern for us.
With a limited history of task force and the legislative process here, the limited history I have, that if you come out of a task force with a 5-4 vote and expect this body to move the legislation, you're probably in trouble. Generally speaking, task force will work their way through to a consensus sort of thing, or with the, I suppose, worst case scenario, maybe one dissident among the participants, but at least that's my history, so I'm not sure why an even number would make it cumbersome.
Mr. Chair, we can also remediate this by giving the Water Resources Department a vote. That'll make it 11.
No, we can't do that.
Mr. Chair, one concern I have, or I guess question about having development interests represented, and you know, I've worked with the realtors, and you know, I agree they have some very good often points to add. It's just that typically realtor isn't, or the developer isn't getting water rights on their own unless it's a, you know, they're going to develop their own well. So I guess I was figuring that their interests would be represented through the water suppliers or the municipality if the municipality is the water supplier. So I guess I had a question there.
Well,
we'll
have a chance to talk to Mr. Levy about that, I think, when we get him up here. We're trying to address this group's, I think, issues. Okay. Any other questions?
Well, I just want to comment, too, please.
Surely.
I'll vote for this with
the original makeup with the realtors in it. But if I am so blessed or cursed to be on this committee next session, if I'm so blessed or cursed to be reelected, if I choose to go that direction,
we got in this question,
and if something comes back that all three members of Ag vote against it and everybody's for it, or the two members from Environment and the tribes vote against it and it's three, that's not going to be in balance. That's not a balance. And so I urge you to, as the chair so wisely pointed out, to come back with. If there's one person that just can't stand it, I can live with that. But we talk about balance. I want to see balance too, Mr. Chair.
Is that like the Farm Bureau that you were referring to?
I that's why I said Ag or the Environment or anybody. I'm not picking on anybody here.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to say. Please, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Katie, did you? Would you? If you don't mind sharing the podium here, Adam, would you come up too? The candidates and staff.
Chair Jensen, members of the committee, for the record, Katie Fass, representing the Oregon Cattlemen. I think Water for Life, Oregon Water Trust, and Oregon Farm Bureau gave an adequate job of explaining the background on this bill. We support it moving forward and also would like to dedicate the time to be a player on this task force as well. We did serve on the advisory rules committee that Gene had mentioned before and are willing to move forward and dedicate the time needed. Thank you.
Adam. Yes, good morning. Adam Sussman for the record with the Water Resource Department. I did provide you some written testimony which gives a lot of detail, so at your leisure feel free to take a look at that. The department does support Senate Bill 499A, the amended bill. We did work for over a year in a rulemaking process, worked really hard to streamline the transfer rules and try to restructure them, but it would be no surprise that there was a couple issues where we just couldn't reach consensus in the rulemaking process, which was the issues of both injury and enlargement. What do those mean in the various contexts? And the stakeholders in that rulemaking activity got together on their own and formulated this legislation. And again, we support the idea of working with a diverse group of stakeholders to see if we can tackle some of these really difficult issues. The department in 499A does staff the task force, and we believe we can do that within our existing resources so there would not be a general fund fiscal impact on that. We were already committed to trying to resolve this administratively, so it's really the same thing, just in a different venue. And with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Questions, Ryder? Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Levy, please. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I am Harlan Levy, staff attorney with the Oregon Association of Realtors. Yes, we would support Senate Bill 499 if this committee would amend the bill to allow for development interests to be represented on the task force. We believe that that would be necessary to ensure that there is adequate representation for all the parties involved with respect to water right transfers. These are becoming very important for development interests as water has become more and more appropriated across the state. It is becoming clear to us that water right transfers are probably going to be one of the main ways for growth to occur in the future with respect to acquisition of water rights for development. With that, I will conclude my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Levy. When you talk about growth, what are you referring to?
When I'm talking about growth, I'm referring to the growth in terms of urban growth boundary expansions. I'm talking about new development. I'm talking about the population growth that's going to be necessary to be served with adequate water supplies.
Okay. Question from Representative Dinkfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll ask the same question that I posed to the other members on the panel. I was just trying to understand, as far as typically in development, you're going to be getting your water supply through water supplier or municipality, private water supplier, municipality. So I guess I was wondering why you think your needs wouldn't be met by one of the three members representing, well, it's water suppliers and hydro users. But do you not think that your needs would be met through the water supplier itself? Because they're the ones required to provide you water.
Chair Jensen, Representative Dinkfelder, usually they probably would. Our interests would probably coincide. The situation that we are seeing is there are some municipalities and water suppliers that are not in favor of growth and using water supply as a means to check growth. And I don't mean to name names, but they are out there. There are a couple actually within the metro region themselves that are attempting to do that by focusing growth or by using the constraint in water supply to focus growth to other jurisdictions. And we would like to participate in this process to try to prevent that sort of thing from happening here with respect to water rights transfers.
Follow?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I sat on the regional water supply group for the metro area for many years, and I worked with all the water suppliers, and that's not my experience. I think they were very interested in trying to figure out and meet future demands for growth. So I'm just perplexed about that. That's just not my personal experience. So I would think that it might be a little bit redundant that your needs would be addressed by the water supplier, but this is my observation.
Chair Jensen, Representative Dinkfelder, this is what I'm hearing from my members. So.
I would like just a question to clarify what you said, Mr. Levy. Is it the actual purveyors of water, the water districts, for example, or is it some members of their community that are using water as a way to stop or obstruct growth? Can you clarify that for me? Because I have the privilege of sitting on the Sunrise Water Authority Budget Committee. And I haven't seen that in my water authority. I'm not saying you're wrong. Is it members of certain specific members or groups from the community that are using water, which I tend to agree with you on that, but to obstruct or slow growth for their own personal agenda?
Chair Jensen, Representative Schaffler, frankly, I don't know if it's both, combination of both, or one or the other. This is just what I've heard from some of my members.
Thank you.
I have a couple of questions, I guess, to go on a little bit. Can you give me any reason for the for your group not participating in the task force that spent all the time or the work group that spent the time bringing us this bill?
Chair Jensen, no reason. I don't have a reason for you. I'm sorry.
Okay. And who put together that task force or that work group? Water Resource Department?
Here's the participants.
Yeah, but who put it together?
I think it was Water Resources Department.
Please.
Chair Jensen, members of the committee, Anita Winkler, Oregon Water Resources Congress. I'm not sure which work group you're referring to. There were actually two. There was one that was the Transfer Rules Advisory Committee that the Water Resources Department convened and spent a couple of years trying to work out transfer rules. There was a work group of a short duration that put together this particular bill.
Is that a spin-off from the other group?
Yeah, it was several of us who sat on the TRAC, the Transfer Rules Advisory Committee, who felt that those issues were too big to let die and that we needed to keep working on them. As I recall, the first phone call was probably to Deschutes Resource Conservancy. Actually, it wasn't a phone call. It was a conversation at a conference. It was Gail Ackerman from Deschutes Resource Conservancy. I think Andrew Perkey from the Oregon Water Trust and me from the Oregon Water Resources Congress. We then discussed who had been active members and expressed the biggest concerns on these issues from the TRAC and convened that group of about six people to talk about putting together the transfer, this proposed task force. So I hope that helps clarify.
Thank you. The question, thank you very much, Anita. The question was who convened the original work group to bring forth this legislation, and the Water Resource Department got the blame. But is that your recollection?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my recollection is that we worked diligently through the rulemaking process to try to resolve these, and we were not successful, and therefore the stakeholders got together without the department. The department was not involved in any way in the development of this legislation. We knew that it was being developed, but we were not asked to participate in terms of setting up the membership and other elements of the bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
One other thing, Mr. Levy. That it strikes the chair that when you talk about your group being represented, that it does seem in this era that we're living in right now, where economic development or economic growth is the primary focus of this, as I understand it, this legislative session, that you'd have a strong case maybe by talking about economic growth. And I do think that your group probably brings more to the issue of economic growth than maybe the others that are represented here. So with that, I'm going to close the public hearing.
Thank you.
And open a work session on 4499, Senate Bill 4499A.
Mr. Chair,
Representative.
I don't have any particular grief in having Mr. Levy's association to be part of a work group or a task force to discuss these issues. They're going to be one of many. And it doesn't cause me any problems as a farmer and a staunch defender of irrigation rights to have them involved in that process. So I don't have any problems with making an amendment.
Would you be kind enough then to offer us a...
I would, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I would move conceptual amendments as presented for the Engross version of Senate Bill 499.
Okay. Representative Cook moves the conceptual amendments as presented to Senate Bill 4499A, and those amendments are in Section 1B, the governor shall appoint 10 members, that is, strike the 9 and insert 10, and then under Section 1, sub B, add E, sub E, cap E, one member to represent the development interests. Are we all clear on the conceptual amendment? And I have been advised that maybe we need to suspend the rules to do a conceptual amendment. So with that...
Mr. Chair?
What?
I'm sorry. Then would that change on line 5 that number to 13 members?
It would.
If we're adding
it
one.
It would. It would. Thank you, Representative.
Good point, Representative.
Thank you. So, first of all, let the chair, if you'd withdraw your motion for a moment.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I withdraw my motion.
The chair moved to suspend the rules for the possibility of considering a conceptual amendment, not a conceptual moment.
Well, that too.
It was a conceptual moment.
Is there discussion? Is there objection?
Perhaps we shouldn't, Representative.
Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Krupp, now I would take your...
Mr. Chair, I would move that with the rules suspended that we adopt the conceptual amendments to Senate Bill 499A as presented and as previously discussed.
Representative Krupp moves that we adopt the conceptual moments, amendments. The conceptual amendments as amendment as presented, and that would be on line 5 of the section 1, line 5, the 12 members, strike the 12 and insert 13. And if we have a problem as far as even odd numbers, we got back to odd on this for the record. The governor, and then on section 1B, the governor shall appoint, strike 9 and insert 10. And then in section 1B, add sub E, one member to represent the development interests. Is there questions? Is there objection to the amendments? Amendment.
That's a good point.
Okay. There are no objections. We will ask the Mr. Brendan to.
I would say if we need a clarification of the language in the conceptual amendment, we ought to deal with that before we make the conceptual amendment.
That's why we're asking for legislative counsel.
Chair Jensen, members of the committee, I was just listening in my office and heard conceptual amendments, so I raced down here.
Oh, wonderful.
Well,
looking
exactly.
Quickly
at
have you taken your nitroglycerin pills yet?
Looking quickly at the language, I just was pondering in that heartbeat whether we could clarify what a development interest is. I could come up with probably a number of possibilities of what that could mean. Would that be real estate development, I assume, land you know, development, building development? So there could be a number of options, and a little clarification would probably be prudent.
What happened to Mr. Levy?
I thought he was done. That's a good point.
Good point. Yep. Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Cruz.
However, if it was the way it is here, that would actually leave the governor discretion to choose from any of the categories you mentioned, wouldn't it? As for who would represent development interests?
Well, Representative and Mr. Chair, would that be broad and so broad that you could drive a Mack truck through it, i.e. the governor could appoint 1,000 Friends of Oregon to represent the development interests?
Well, that was the reason for the question to Mr. McCarthy, but I'm assuming that that is so vague and so broad that it could go anywhere, right?
Chair Jensen, Representative Cruz,
or not.
I think that would be my concern, that it could go anywhere. I mean, development interests in this case could potentially even be water development, or I mean, you could come up with all kinds of
or website development or
website whatever. Development. Right.
Well, that's a development interest,
right? Right. So.
Thank you. Have you heard enough of the discussion to understand what the concern is?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Harlan Levy, I've been running between this hearing and another hearing down the hallway, so I missed part of Mr. McCarthy's statement.
The problem is the definition of development.
Okay.
It has been pointed out by Representative Cruz that could be Thousand Friends.
I was Representative Krupp that said Thousand Friends, but I would concur.
Okay.
So we need to narrow that definition, then.
Help us a little with...
Well, Mr. Chair, should the proper question that I ask Mr. Levy would be, what did you originally intend with that verbiage?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Krupp, development in the sense of providing water for homes, for people, for economic growth, for businesses, for industry, uses that one would expect to find inside of urban growth boundaries as they expand and as their needs for water increase.
It
sounds like real estate.
It's still incredibly vague, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I could, this committee is being appointed, what constituent group would you put in that place?
Mr. Chair, Representative Cruz, perhaps a home builder, perhaps a business entity, perhaps a realtor.
And I appreciate and sense the frustration that we have, with this, and thank Brendan for coming down and bringing it to our to our attention and preventing unintended consequences.
Mr. Chair, what Mr. Levy's talking about is building and construction. Why not just say building and construction interests? That's what we're talking about here, building buildings.
Whether that building is a industrial or whether it's a residential.
But it's still building, so.
It's still building.
Yeah.
Does that meet your need?
Chair Jensen, yes, we would be satisfied with that.
Okay.
So one member representing the building and construction industry?
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Okay.
Okay.
So we would need
Brendan?
Chair Jensen, I think that would satisfy my concerns about clarity.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we would need Representative Krupp to amend his motion and to state that, I guess.
Well, I guess we could withdraw the motion and start all over since we haven't banged the gavel on it.
Mr. Chair, I would be happy to withdraw my motion.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a new motion.
Thank you.
That we adopt amended language to our conceptual amendment for Senate Bill 499A. To the extent that on line, or actually after line 13 in sub E, or capital sub E, one member to represent construction and development interests.
Building and construction
interests.
Okay, so... the amendment would, the conceptual amendment would now be on line 5 to replace the 12 with 13. On line 9 of the printed A engrossed bill to replace the 9 with 10. And then after line 13 to insert a subcap E, one member to represent the building and construction interests. Are we clear on the motion?
Mr. Chair, would we be better off with interest or industry? I mean, which would be more specific there? Doesn't matter? Okay, doesn't matter, okay.
The other ones are interests also. Okay,
that's fine. I just want to make sure we were getting the clarity that Mr. McCarthy wanted. So.
Okay. Is there objection to the motion? So ordered. And
Mr. Chair?
Representative Krupp.
I would move Senate Bill 499A engrossed as conceptually amended to the Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Krupp moves Senate Bill 499.
By prior reference, Mr. Chair.
A engrossed as amended to the House floor.
No.
With a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay.
With a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Comey.
I'm just looking at the materials we have here, and it says rescind the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, the bill was sent to us from the Speaker's office with the referral to Ways and Means.
Oh, with the referral. Thank you.
Well, Chair, do we have clarification on that? Originally, obviously, the original bill was printed with a referral, and was there a glitch in the system that did not notice that the Senate had rescinded that? Would be the question.
Representative Cruz and Mr. Chair, we could check into that, but basically it's been the habit lately of the Speaker to recommend and refer every task force or committee type a bill to Ways and Means lately. So I would assume that, but if we find out that's the case, I guess we could reconsider.
That's cool. I think folks, that there is a price tag on any task force that we have, and I think that's a reason for the referral to the Ways and Means. So, and I believe that's correct, that the administrator has indicated the Speaker has taken a fairly strong position on that with us. Okay, call the roll, please.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Cruz.
Aye.
Representative Shoffler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Dingfelder.
Aye.
Representative Krupp.
Aye.
Mr. Jensen.
Aye. Senate Bill 44A as amended is declared passed. And the chair would like to note that it was pretty imperative that we have at least one bill coming out of committee from the Senate that we could amend and send back to them. So, with that, we need at this point to reconsider a couple of bills. House Bill 2659. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and reconsideration of House Bill 2659 be taken up immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The chair requests a motion on House Bill 2659 do pass as amended recommendation and be referred by prior referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I move that we reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 2659 as amended with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
We've already got that back, Representative.
Well, no, you had it back, but you brought it back, but then we have to have a motion to reconsider the vote by which we sent it out.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Representative Cruz, would you state your motion again?
Mr. Chair, I move that we reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 2659 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
You've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Now we're open again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we need to open a work session on House Bill 2659. And we need a motion to refer to Ways and Means.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2659 as amended to the floor with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
There's no amendment, is there?
That's correct.
Well, it's still an amended bill at this point. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
House Bill, Representative Cruz moves House Bill 2659 as amended to the floor with subsequent referral to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. The discussion. Would you call the roll, please?
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Cruz.
Aye.
Representative Joplin.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Dinkfelder.
Aye.
Representative
Krupp.
Aye.
Chair Jensen.
Aye. House Bill 2659 is passed out to Ways and Means then. And now the chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and reconsideration of House Bill 3620 be taken up immediately. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Cruz.
I move that we reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 3620 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cruz moves that we reconsider the vote by which we passed House Bill 3620 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Ways and Means? Ways and Means?
Yes, we got to go to Ways and
Means. Okay. Mr. Chair.
We need to open a work session.
Okay. Yep. Now, okay. Mr. Chair. Now. I move House Bill 3620 as amended to the floor with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cruz moves House Bill 3620 to the floor with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? The clerk, call the roll, please.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Cruz.
Aye.
Representative Schaubler.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Representative Dinkfelder.
Aye.
Representative Krupp.
Aye.
Chair Jensen.
Aye. Okay. House Bill 3620 is referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And with this, then, we will open a work session on House Bill 3298, the bill you've all been waiting with bated breath for. Oh, wait a minute.
We need to suspend the rules.
We did have it back in our possession.
Okay. We got back?
We did have it back in our possession.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where'd all my folks go that we're going to want to talk about this?
There's two. There.
The standard ease for a couple seconds. Bill before us for some time now. In fact, we passed it out and we brought it back for purposes of trying to make a good bill better. And we've had a number of groups working on that. We will hear from basically first the proponents of the bill, and then subsequently we'll hear from the opponents. And then we'll talk with the Water Resource Department. And we have about 45, 50 minutes to do this and no more. Representative Flores.
She's giddy with excitement.
Your sense of humor is overwhelming. There may be others who are proponents of the bill in the audience. In the event that you feel neglected and left out, Please don't, if you wave your hand and shout or something, we'll be happy to hear your comments as well. Richard or Brad or whoever wants to start.
Mr. Chair, Richard Kosas, Handwater for Life. Pertaining to House Bill 3298. It started out as an attempt to clarify the issue of ultimate ownership of a water right within a irrigation district. And as initially printed, many people thought the bill was too broad and felt that it could lead to, quote, unintended consequences. I think that was a term that we heard many times. Representative Flores coordinated a work group. We have met three afternoons with a wide variety of people. I think the majority of individuals would tend to agree that we could indeed clarify the ownership issue. I believe one group is, I think it's fairly clear that one group is not going to buy that. But again, out of the work group, three full afternoons of discussion, I think fairly clearly we have reached some kind of general direction to narrow the amendments to specifically clarify that we are talking about the ownership question within the boundaries of an irrigation district. The issue, if you recall, has come up in recent years as to who the ultimate owner is. The issue first arose in the Grants Pass Irrigation District. This was one of the first public displays or issues associated with this overriding theme of ownership. In the Grants Pass Irrigation District, individuals came forth and wanted to cancel their water right. The irrigation district, who held the water right in the district's name, and I think that's important to note, said, no, you should not cancel that right without our permission. Many discussions, ultimately culminating in an Attorney General's opinion that was issued in September of 2000. And the Attorney General's opinion is very, very clear in the sense that it addresses the ownership question of an individual residing outside an irrigation district, inside an irrigation district, and also it covers very specifically an individual residing within a Bureau of Rec project. So the AG opinion is fairly encompassing. A year or two later, the issue arose. The first issue dealing with Grants Pass specifically addressed the cancellation issue. A couple years later, the issue arose in terms of ownership with a Southern Oregon Irrigation District, and an individual patron wanted to or desired to move their point of diversion. The district said, no, you don't have that ability without our permission. The issue is continuing, but again, the state has indicated that no, there is not a co-ownership. The individual patron is the one that owns that water right. The water stays appurtenant to the land upon which it is used. We believe very clearly that if we don't clarify this issue, controversies will continue. And the attempt of the legislation, very simply, nothing more, nothing less, is to try to, once and for all, clarify the ultimate question as to who owns the water right. Thank you.
Can we, given our time elements, and we have basically, or my understanding is, that you basically have some areas of possible proposed amendments to, and I guess that's kind of where I'd like to go. I mean, if I may.
Mr. Chair, you may. And since you're the chair, I think you have the ability to do so.
Well, it's not the chair's desire to impose a mandate here. It's merely that that's kind of what I had scheduled or thought of having scheduled.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I think the bottom line issue can be ironed out. Again, with the exception of perhaps one interest group. Willie Tiffany from the League of Oregon Cities has been very helpful. I think we've clearly addressed his issue. Cranberry Growers, Carol Russell, has been involved in the work group. We have addressed her issues, and we are trying to narrow the scope to come up with and develop one clear-cut, very narrow definition to address the ownership question within an irrigation district. I think it's doable, and I think it's the right direction, and I think it's good policy for the state of Oregon. And I hope that was brief enough.
Perhaps a little too. What are the specific areas where you're changing or proposing changing in the original bill?
Mr. Chair,
I know we don't have amendments, and I know we can't, but we're at a time when the committee needs to be updated on where the work group has been and the ground that you've covered.
Mr. Chair, to narrow the focus again, we are talking about water used within an irrigation district for irrigation purposes with clear-cut delineation that this is aimed solely at the use of irrigation water. It is not going to impact municipal interests or other interests that have discussed in recent days and recent weeks the appurtenancy requirements. So again, the whole attempt is to take this definition and to very narrowly construct it in a manner that it speaks, one, to irrigation districts, two, to the use of irrigation water, and three, that water stays appurtenant to the land upon which it is beneficially applied. Thank you. Gene Wilkinson brought up an excellent issue because the districts raised a very, I think, accurate issue in the sense that in the event the district owned land, could they then again own that water right? And we will indeed address that question. Getting back to the underlying premise that the water stays appurtenant to the land, if the district owns the land, the district could maintain or hold that water right.
Okay. Yes. Anything, Jean?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Jean Wilkinson representing the Oregon Farm Bureau. I think Richard did a good job in laying out some of the discussions and some of the amendments that you will see presented to the committee. We've spent many, many hours now working on this issue in a work group, and it has constituted some interesting discussions. I think if nothing else, we've reached a better understanding, or I've reached a better understanding of what the position is of the Water Resources Congress. Clearly, what it boils down to, and granted, this is an awkward position for me to be in. I consider the Water Resources Congress and their representatives to be close colleagues of mine, and I have deep respect for them and the work that they do. But in this instance, I've clearly discovered that we are on polar ends of a fundamental issue in water law, and they feel that they have a ownership interest in water rights within districts, a co-ownership, if you will. I'm not sure if that's clearly defined by them, but that's in direct conflict with Farm Bureau policy and the understanding of many of our members in terms of who owns the land and who owns the water rights, being an asset, an important and valuable asset to that property. The districts are concerned that if this bill passes, it's going to make fundamental change to business.
Can we let them present their case?
Absolutely. I just wanted to make the point in going there that this what we're trying to do is establish finally and codify what we know is a fundamental principle that's established in law. And I think if there were fundamental changes that will come about that would be extremely negative to agriculture as a result of this bill, those changes would have occurred through time, through 50 years or more of cases and judges' opinions that have established this principle already. And I think landowners within districts do have opportunities to strike deals, if you will, with the districts if the landowners do not want to exercise an ownership right in their water rights. They could grant the districts a, you know, guardianship or trusteeship if they so chose. And so I think those deals can be brokered in the future, and landowners and the districts have options, and this certainly doesn't close the door to farming and the valuable services that districts provide today. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. Brad.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Brad Harper with Water for Life. I'd like to begin by thanking Representative Flores for all her patience. We spent probably, I'd approximate 9 hours over the 3 days working on this and really having substantive discussions over this whole issue, and we appreciate that opportunity. I guess the message you've already heard is at the end of the day, we really just narrowed down all the issues to that fundamental one, which is can we define owner? And unfortunately, there were just a small group that could not accept any definition of owner. But I think the better news, the good news, is the larger group, we were able to come up with definitions that everyone could accept. In addition to the conceptual amendments you've already heard, we also have two amendments that we're working on behalf of the Klamath Water Users Association. As you know, they're the main interest representing the Klamath Project and taking care of those guys down in Klamath Falls. We think we have their concerns satisfied. We have language that will protect claims currently in adjudication. And we have a conceptual amendment that we're working on to try and ensure that their storage rights, their rights to stored water stored by a Bureau of Reclamation, can be safeguarded. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
For the record, Katie Fast, Oregon Cattlemen. You've heard much of the background already. I'd like to state once again that this issue is one that's very contentious. However, our membership is very concerned over their water rights and the ownership issue. There's a lot of uncertainty with them and some comfort levels that aren't satisfied at this time. I believe that we were unable to come to agreement with groups over 3 days, and if this issue isn't dealt with this session and we're to go to a working group, as you might hear proposed by other groups, it would not be resolved in 2 years as well. There's a fundamental difference between the Congress and the landowner groups on who is the owner, and we believe that issue is not going to be able to be satisfied between the two organizations. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For any or all of you, I have a question, and this came up from, I think, our original discussions as we heard this bill. In your amendments, do you have anything in there that helps water districts achieve the goal of being able to deliver water downstream to perhaps a senior water right holder who's downstream, and a junior water right holder upstream decides they want to cancel or just give up their water right, and that water is needed to get that water down to that senior water right holder? And this is an issue that came up, and I frankly don't think we have addressed it in the legislation. Does your amendments address that, or do we need to? What's your thoughts? And I'm going to ask all four of you that. Richard, start with you, perhaps, Mr. Chair, if that's all right.
Fine. Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, we have not specifically addressed that issue. To be frank, I don't know how you do address that issue. But in terms of the underlying question, if individuals within a district choose to cancel their right, choose to convert their right to an in-stream flow, choose to transfer their right, we believe fundamentally they have that ability. Ask the question of how many districts have been in a situation of facing disillusion from a situation that you've mentioned does not occur. In terms of the management ability of that district, I think Gene addressed the issue very precisely, that nothing precludes the districts and their patrons from entering into any type of contractual agreement, obligation, understanding whatsoever. That is a management issue for the patrons of the district operation, the district management. That is probably an undefined answer, Representative Krupp, but no, we have not specifically addressed that. I don't believe it is an overriding issue.
Okay. Gene?
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp.
Please. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp.
Yes.
Gene Wilkinson with the Oregon Farm Bureau. I agree with the statements Richard has just made, and I've thought about that too. Again, there's nothing that prohibits someone from doing that now. That hasn't been historically a problem yet. I think, though, that is an issue that the landowners need to perhaps deal with as a separate issue outside of this ownership question, and perhaps district by district, depending on the makeup of the district, how far the water has to be taken to distribute the water to the farm properties. Perhaps it needs to be dealt with on a district by district basis. So if landowners want to enter into an understanding or contractual arrangement, so that senior water right user at the end of the canal is protected, they could go ahead and do that. I'm really skeptical about imposing limitations in statute on someone's ability to manipulate their water right or make their own management decisions, because it becomes a very slippery slope. Where do you stop imposing those types of limitations? And so I think that's a dangerous territory to go to in statute, but it certainly is a valid point.
Mr. Chair, if I might interrupt, and Representative Krupp, the situation you just described, too, if one were to think through that process, if the gentleman at the end of the delivery held the more senior right, that delivery of water was probably there long before any subsequent junior users upside the delivery system were there. So the water was indeed delivered prior to the junior user coming in.
Representative Krupp, Chair Jensen, Brad Harper, I agree with everything you've just heard, and I just also reiterate that we believe, and it's definitely our intent, to address a very fundamental issue, which is the ownership question, the appurtenant landowner. And we believe this is status quo, but we also believe the bill is necessary because there are forces trying to pull us off of center, pull us away from status quo, and we think that's bad policy and it would be in the wrong direction. So to answer your question, Representative Krupp, I don't believe we're going to change the system in terms of that individual you're describing. I think whatever problems they may face will still exist, but they will neither be harmed nor helped by this bill.
Okay.
Once again, for the record, Katie Fast, Oregon Cattlemen. I would agree with the other panelists that this is cancellation of a water right is something that an irrigator within an irrigation district can already do. And this was confirmed with the 2000 Attorney General's opinion that the committee received. So this is an issue that could happen if this bill passes or not. And as you've heard, this is our belief is that the landowners and the irrigators are the owners and holders of the water rights, not the irrigation districts. So this is a substantive change in law for our associations.
Mr. Chair, one more quick question.
Of course.
Thank you. In your amendments, have you addressed, and in our previous testimony, and I have notes to this effect, it's established that water districts do have a limited right to own water rights for the purposes of construction of the delivery systems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, only. And I think that's very clear in the law. The way the bill is written, does this take that limited right away, in your opinion? Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, know if we need to delineate that further. I don't think anybody would object. But again, the delivery is but one issue. Again, I would encourage the members to get back to the underlying issue, and I think the issue is that the owner is the one that beneficially applies the water to the appurtenant land. So the delivery is almost a secondary issue.
But Mr. Chair and Richard, for the purposes of what our discussion has been on the record and the AG's opinion, there is a clearly established limited right. And I ask you the question, does the current bill, as it is written, take away that limited right? And I saw a lot of shaking heads no, and that's really what I want to know. Because if that's a problem, and that status quo, as we just talked about, then I'd like to preserve that status quo.
Mr. Chair, Representative Krupp, no, it is. I don't believe it is the intent nor direction of that legislation to get to that issue.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That concludes my question.
Yeah, excellent question. Thank you. Representative Flores, do you have any comments or questions for this? We're moving along. Okay.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity, but I have no questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your... let me see. We were asking for supporters of the bill. Mr. Cyrus, are you wishing to?
I don't think
Jim?
Okay.
Mr. Tiffany, could I ask you to? Thank you for your patience here this morning, Mr. Tiffany. I'm concerned as you understand it, and realizing we don't have amendments in front of us right now, but as you understand it, are the municipalities and cities and of course the special districts, are you weighing in on this issue? Are your concerns taken care of, or do you think they're taken care of at this point?
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Willie Tiffany with the League of Oregon Cities, and yes, I also want to commend Representative Flores and the work group for addressing our concerns. Conceptually, the language that we talked about in the work group do meet our concerns, so we don't have any position on the bill at this point in time.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Amanda Rich, and I represent the Special Districts Association of Oregon. I would also like to thank Representative Flores for all of her hard work and many hours that she put into it, as well as your administrator, Mr. Test. He was wonderful. I also want to thank Representative Flores for the treats that she brought to the work group every afternoon.
The only reason they came.
That's right. The Special Districts Association, we are satisfied with the amendments to the extent that they exclude our municipalities that deliver water. However, we still have grave concerns over defining ownership, even for the narrow purposes of just an irrigation district. We exist to protect districts' ability to serve their public and the folks that elect them to do a job, and we do have concerns that a definition of ownership could impact their ability to serve their public purposes. So we continue to have concerns over the bill for those purposes.
Okay. A question? Thank you. Anita and Christina, please. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Anita Winkler, the Executive Director of the Oregon Water Resources Congress, and I will start saying I hope you can hear me better today than you could last week. But I'm in the process of losing my voice again, so this just started to happen.
Sorry, we have this kind of an effect on you.
please don't take it personally. Let me start by expressing our appreciation at the Chairman's efforts and Representative Flores' efforts and your Administrator's efforts over the last several days meeting with the work group. I think I probably would describe that process as enlightening and frustrating if it can be both at the same time. I do think that for the first time we were able to begin to tease out some of the issues that we have had all along and some of the what other people have referred to as unintended consequences. And a side result of that has been every time that we've met regularly with our legislative committee trying to discuss the different proposals that have been put on the table, and every time we took something forward, we found out some more unintended consequences. So the education effect on me personally over the last 4 days has been something I've not quite yet absorbed because my brain just can't quite take that much in that fast. But we're in a position that, so, and without having the amendments here, and I understand since we were at that meeting that ended after 4 o'clock last night that it's a little difficult to have them here. But our position is that so long as the bill attempts or does try to define ownership with relation to irrigation water and the special districts who have been formed to deliver that water, we will have to oppose the bill. The definitions that we have seen take away any ownership interest from the districts. And it is our belief that that does provide operational problems and functional problems for the districts. Mr. Kosasan has said several times, well, it hasn't happened yet, so it isn't going to happen. The fact of the matter is it hasn't happened yet because nobody's had big arguments until recently over this. So it's only in the last few years that this issue has really come to the forefront. One of the driving forces for that has been the ESA and Clean Water Act, and we're only now beginning to find out what that means to irrigation districts and water control districts and the other districts that supply water, and their abilities to continue to function when they're being required to put water in stream or take other actions to protect species and meet Clean Water Act requirements. It's only in the last, I think, 2 weeks, actually, that the rules, the proposed guidelines have come out on water temperature guidelines. And I don't think there's anybody in Region 10 of EPA that isn't having heartburn over what that's going to mean and how we're going to respond to that. So we have serious concerns on our abilities to deal with these unknowns as they're popping along. Further, the proponents of this bill keep arguing that they're that this has already been addressed through the Grants Pass Irrigation District case and keep citing the Camerzal memo. I would point out to you that was an opinion from the Attorney General. And I don't think that anybody intends that an Attorney General staff opinion is really state law.
Pardon? Could you rephrase?
Well, they keep citing the existing law as being as stated by the memo, the Attorney General memo. We call it the Camerzal memo. It was written by Cheryl Camerzal in the Grants Pass case. We don't believe that is state law. We believe it is the opinion of an attorney general in a specific case under very limited circumstances. And if you look at some of the cases that were cited in there, we don't believe the interpretation was correct. We do believe there's a history at the Supreme Court in case law that districts have an ownership interest in the water rights, that interest may change depending on who applied for and proved up those water rights. It may have a difference depending on if the water rights were developed prior to the district coming into formation or if they were developed by the district as part of its formation. And actually, we had a proposal on the table that your administrator brought on Friday that tried to split those pieces out and try to address them. And we thought that might be a good way to go. We frankly didn't pursue it with our members because it didn't go anywhere in the committee with anybody except us. So we're in a really uncomfortable position of having to oppose something that we haven't seen for sure, but we kind of think we know what it's going to say, and that we quite simply can't do anything but oppose it because we feel it just strips our districts, our members, of any ownership interest in the water rights.
The chair apologizes to you for not having the amendments here, and under other circumstances earlier in the session, that wouldn't have taken place. You all are as aware as the chair is of the time constraints that come on the legislature, and we do appreciate that your testimony may or may not remain the same depending upon the nature of what the amendments are. We're only asking for an update from the people who participated in the work group as to what their feelings and sentiments were at the time they left the work group yesterday afternoon at 4:30 or last night at 7:30 after they got through talking to their high-priced attorneys or whatever it is that they talk to, whoever it is that they talk to. So I do appreciate your comments, and my apologies to you for us proceeding in this way, but at this particular point, I know of no other way to proceed.
Oh, Chair Jensen, no apology necessary. As I said, we were at that meeting. We didn't expect amendments here today. We're working off the conceptual, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we had three or four versions of amendments yesterday. So not only do we not know for sure what we're talking about, which may not be the first time that's happened in my life, but we're not sure which thing that we don't know that we're not talking about at this point. So it's pretty muddy. If I may, I would like to respond to a question that Representative Krupp asked about the ability to move the water through the system. And I think that's a legitimate concern, and that's one that people kind of pass off quickly as, well, that's a management issue, and it truly is a management issue. But if you're that guy at the end of the ditch, it isn't a management issue to you, and it's a survival issue, and that's one of the big concerns that we continue to have. As urbanization encroaches on the districts and or other interests and pressures develop, those water rights, everybody admits, become pretty valuable, and it becomes very tempting to maybe quit farming, or the kids don't want to farm because it's too hard for whatever reason, and we hear the stories all over the state. And we're very concerned that that could start happening under this bill, because it gives the districts no interest and no way to protect those water rights, or under the proposals we saw, I won't say under the bill. So that's one of our very deep concerns.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Of course.
Please, thank you. I have a question for you folks or Representative Flores. Were there any conceptual ideas that would say that every landowner in an irrigation district, whether if this passes, the folks at the end of the ditch would get their water, even if someone up the ditch gave up their water right? I think there's probably a possible way to solve this issue by just putting language in saying this in no way would prevent someone at the end of the ditch, and I'd rather just use these common terms, from getting their water, because I don't want them to lose their water. I want those landowners to enjoy their water rights as much as the folks up the ditch enjoy theirs. So did you all talk about that? Or
Chair Jensen, Representative Schaffler, we've talked about the issue, and this is one of a plethora of issues that we talked about that we find very, very difficult to address. And conceptually, right now, I have a hard time saying to someone, well, you own the water right, but, and that's, I'm not sure how that would play to say, you own the water right, but you can't do anything to harm the guy at the end of the ditch. I'm not sure how we could do that. It's going to take a mind much better than mine to craft that language. My fear is this is addressing one issue that's been raised. We have many issues that have been raised, and we can spend a lot of time trying to address each one of those to make sure that people's interests are protected. That goes back to where we were when this whole thing started, that this is an enormously complicated issue. And in order to properly address it and not use what has been described, wasn't my first, I didn't use it first, but it works for me now, kind of a MEDAX approach to this definition that's going to cut across the water code in more ways than most of us can anticipate. We need to be sitting down and working through what the issues are and where it's going to impact, and crafting the language as we work through it. There have been proposals on the table. I think Representative Flores has talked about that. We stand full square behind that kind of an approach, fully committed to that kind of approach, and trying to address the issues as they come instead of trying just putting this up at the front and hitting the water code all the way across. It's a good example of the problem that we're facing.
Thank you.
Okay. Christina.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, Christina McNitt with the Oregon Water Resources Congress. I think Ms. Winkler covered our position adequately. Thank you.
Question? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Doug Myers, and I'm representing Water Watch. We were not a participant in the work group. It's our understanding that in-stream values are now out of the bill due to the amendments. However, as just stated, Water Watch feels that this is an enormously complicated issue and shouldn't be the policy issues, there being no immediate emergency that I can think of, should be decided in a work group, just as the water transfer issue, which has had 2 years of work groups and is going to go to another 2 years of work groups. We feel that it should go to a work group and not be decided right here in May of 2003. Thank you.
I guess I would ask the same question that I've asked of others who have proposed work groups or task force. Is Water Watch willing to pick up the tab?
Mr. Chair, the short answer is no.
Okay.
But it is part of the Water Resources Department to do these things in the year and a half between sessions, and they do a good job. This needs to be looked at. If we do this, what's the consequences here? What's the consequences here?
All the Chair's been looking at this issue for more than a year and a half, and it's nothing new. And to date, we've seen no movement, nor, for that matter, any real attempt at movement. And so that's the reason that we're trying to push the issue at this point. Thank you.
Just one question. Doug, you piqued my curiosity there. Do you have any level of certainty in this year and a half between session thing you were talking about?
You mean other special sessions?
Well, or this one never getting over. So,
please.
Thank you, Doug. Adam? Paul? Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Again, for the record, Adam Sussman with the Water Resources Department, and like everyone else, we want to thank Representative Flores for her time and her leadership in these work group meetings, and your committee administrator as well for his hard work. We're approaching this issue, I think, a little bit differently than the two groups that you've heard from, and what we are doing is we're trying to think of ways to keep the water using community from tearing itself apart and trying to think about ways to manage the state's water rights in sort of a comprehensive way. And one of the things, the themes that we keep raising is something you heard already, is that the way we're approaching this, I believe, is to define owner in a particular part of the statute and then have that definition apply throughout the entire body of law. And the concern,
Adam?
Yes.
In light of the fact that you have an Attorney General's opinion on the issue of owner at the present time, isn't that already applying throughout the entire body of law?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the point I was trying to make is that the statute refers to the term owner, and it also refers to the term holder. And when we were sitting in the work group meeting with legislative counsel, it was not clear whether those are the same thing, and in fact sometimes those two terms are used in the same paragraph in the same statute. And so we were all in that room, the department as well as legislative counsel, sort of scratching our head trying to figure out if you made this definition in Chapter 536 and applied it throughout all the water code, what did it mean? And I appreciate the chair's comments, and because of the chair's comments, what we have done is tried to address this issue in a little bit different way. What we've said is, rather than define owner in the statute, what we should do is go to the portions of the law that appear to be the trouble spots and think about what can a district do to a patron's water rights and make sure we address those statutes so that the patrons are protected, so that they don't need to worry about a district claiming some ownership interest in moving or doing something to their water right. Conversely, we need to look at the portions of the statutes where a patron can do something with their water right independent of an irrigation district. So we're, in a way, we're defining the ownership, the authorities, and I believe there's a way to get to Ms. Representative Krupp's point is to also talk about the relationship in that sort of approach. And so that's the approach we have been a proponent of in the work group. The activity that seems to be raising the greatest concern is allocations of conserved water within irrigation districts, and the department has put together an amendment that would address that to say that if a district makes an application due to an allocation of conserved water, they would need to get the consent of the patrons. So we've sort of plugged what we see as a gap. And then we started talking about, for instance, a voluntary cancellation. How could a patron within a district move forward with a voluntary cancellation? And as Ms. Camerzell said in the AG's advice, we would codify, basically, that they can make that cancellation independent of the district. But at the same time, to get to the point that Representative Krupp raised, there's an opportunity to talk about the relationship of that cancellation and the district's ability to manage the water. And so we believe through that kind of approach, not only can we protect the patron's ownership interest of the water right, at the same time we can cover the relationship between that patron and the district. And we think there's a great opportunity to handle it that way and to minimize unintended consequences of having a broad definition.
Mr. Chair, may I please?
Please.
You know, you got owner and holder and patron. I'd just go through the whole statute and put owner in there, and somewhere in there say there's every owner is going to leave enough water in that ditch, so the guy at the end of the ditch is going to get their water. That's how I'd do it. That, Mr. Chair, thank you.
We do have some problems then with doing that.
Forgive me for the layman's approach.
Did you have some addition?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Tom Paul, Water Resources Department. Adam has gone through the process that we looked at. We tried to identify where the issues were that were bringing the ownership question before everybody. In the review of the statute, currently under transfer statutes that give irrigation districts the ability to submit transfer applications to us, there's a requirement that they have on file a copy of an agreement, if you will, from the landowners saying that they agree to the proposed transfer. That is true with both temporary transfers as well as permanent transfers that are filed by districts. Two areas that Adam mentioned, the allocation of conserved water and voluntary cancellation, do not have that same provision. And those appear to be the only two areas as it relates to irrigation districts proposing actions to water rights. So that's why we proposed those areas.
The questions for the department? Other questions? Can a district have a water right not appurtenant to the land for delivery purposes, or does the definitions not allow the district to hold such a right?
I'm not, Mr. Chair Tom Paul, I am not as familiar with the irrigation district laws as with the other water laws. There are provisions that give irrigation districts the right to condemn, to acquire water rights. As far as holding a water right to convey water, for example, some decrees, the Deschutes is an example, in that decree, the water rights were granted for a certain rate and duty for irrigation purposes. And in addition to that irrigation water right, the decree allows for a certain percentage of water in addition to the rate and duty identified in the water rate to be diverted for the transportation of that water. That would be an example of where it's an irrigation district delivery system and the losses are occurring through the district's delivery system, not on the user's parcel, if you will.
Do you have all of those statutes that you've identified or that you're talking about? Do you have those written down someplace?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I do have in the file with me a pretty good representative sample of how holder and owner are using.
Would you be kind enough to make those available to the chair?
Yes, that'd be no problem.
Are there other questions? Mr. Test, anything you're thinking of?
No, Mr. Chair. I was looking to see if I had a copy of what they had given us earlier to give to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else that wants to weigh in? Okay, we will plan to be back on Thursday with is that right?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Can be a little more if it's possible to have those before Thursday so that the committee administrator could get them out to us to give members of the committee an opportunity to digest this. This work that you all spend 9 hours doing and that we spend 15 minutes evaluating would be helpful if we had 20 minutes.
Understood.
If that is within the realm of possibility. Okay. With that, I think our agenda for the day has been covered and we are adjourned.